Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
So, how are we to pray? Something we talk about very often in church, isn't it? To pray, and we're expecting that when we come to church, there'll be opportunities to pray. And as we go home or when we're at school or on the train, we recognize that there are opportunities to pray all around us. But how are we to pray? And is it possible that there are, in some ways, right ways to pray and wrong ways to pray? And we're going to reflect a little bit on that as we think about what Jesus said to us in those words that Amy's just read to us. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, that's quite a strong word, isn't it? Hypocrite is someone who kind of says one thing or acts one way, but then really in their heart, they're doing it in a different way. So they're kind of a bit double-minded, and they're sort of not quite doing what they say they are. But they love to stand and pray in the synagogues. Now, that's a name for Jewish people. When they went to the place where they used to worship God, they went to a synagogue, and many still do as Jews. They would go to a synagogue, whereas we come to a church. So they would go there, and sometimes people would go to the synagogue and they'd make a big show of something, or they'd stand on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. And Jesus says, truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Can you remember what Jesus said about where we should pray? What did Jesus say in that reading? When you pray, go to. Anyone remember what was said? Shall we read it again? Right, let's read it again. Okay, let's get it on the screen, Colin, if that's all right. We'll read it through together. Because when we read this, it's important that we apply it. So let's listen to what it says. Let's read together. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Verse 6, let's say together. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's keep going. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Lovely. Right. So, can anyone remember where did Jesus say to go to pray? And once more, in your room. Right, good. Now, is anything particularly special about our room? Who's got a bedroom and what sort of decorations do you have? Because I know someone who wants stars in their bedroom. Right. You don't have stars. What have you got, Joshua?
I only have for gaming stuff.
Yep, so you've got some computer stuff in your bedroom. Right, lovely. What about any of you else? Any of you got anything special in your bedroom? Yes.
Just my bed. And so many teddy bears.
Teddy bears, lovely. Right, let's have a look at a picture if we can. So, here is someone who maybe is in their bedroom, sitting on their favourite chair. What is Jesus saying when he says, go to our room? Is it something that's special? Is it because actually there's something special about the fact we've got games equipment in our room or we've got our favourite special teddy bear? Why is Jesus saying to go to our room in secret? Or what about if you're a girl and maybe you go to your room and perhaps you would lie there and maybe at times you flick through your Bible and have a look at it and you're lying on the floor with your legs in the air, thinking, what can I pray to God? What can I say to God? And you're there in your room, but why is it special to be in your room? Can I propose that it's not because that's the place where your PlayStation may be? It's not because that's where your teddy is, but because it's a place where you can be real. Jesus talks about going and shutting the door, that place where we are private and secret, just us and God, because of the reality of the relationship, where we can be truly honest with God. We can block out things that might disturb us in terms of things that are just distractions. And we can bring to God those things that disturb us because they're on our hearts, or those things that are our heart's desire for who we're going to be, what sort of person we're going to be as we grow up, what sort of person we are as we're getting older. We can come to God and say, God, I love you, but when I look around and the vitality of some of the young people, and I just sort of look at my own life now, and it just seems to have lost an edge. And God, I want to bring that to you. I want to pray that I would be everything you want me to be as I'm growing older day by day. I want to love you with my first love. I want to love you with everything, with all the joys, with all the worries of life. I want to be there. And it's a place of simplicity in many ways, and yet profoundly so, and a place of reality where we can open up our hearts to a God who is our Heavenly Father. And so those are right ways to pray, aren't they? What about wrong ways to pray? Can we remember what Jesus said? Talked about hypocrites, didn't he? And what was the problem with them? They went to a certain place, or they stood on the street corners. Why did Jesus have a problem with people praying aloud on street corners? Surely it's good to pray to God wherever we are. And there have been times where I've been in Costa Coffee with people and I've prayed aloud. Now, is God looking and saying, I told you not to pray out loud in public? Josue, what do you think? Yeah, you came up with a good answer. What you got? Are you saying something? Yeah, no, okay. Anyone think, what is it that Jesus is getting at as to why he was saying that people shouldn't pray on street corners with their robes on in loud voices? What did he say they were perhaps trying to do? Yeah, Bevan. Keep fit time.
If you're praying out loud wearing robes on a street corner, there's a risk it becomes about the performance and not about the prayer.
Thank you, Bevan. Let's have a look at the photo, shall we? Sometimes in life, it's beautiful, isn't it? I feel in some ways I want to just stop and praise God for this beautiful peacock. And I do, because he is resplendent. Yes, peacock, yes, he is resplendent. But when Jesus was talking about people praying on street corners, the problem was they were making a show of it. They were kind of saying, look at me. Look at me, look at the prayer I'm praying. And one of the problems is that if we're in church, we can at times be encouraged to pray, which is lovely, and we need to make sure it's just that heartfelt attitude, and it's not about praying in order that anyone's watching us, other than just being before God. And another thing, he talked about, what else did Jesus say was not a good way to pray? So not good to sort of make a show and make a fuss of it. What else about our words? Can you remember what he said? Yes. Too many words. Right, I'll get back up. Too many words. Yes, that's right. And sometimes we can be like that, can't we? Sort of babbling, just words after words. Just lots of words that just flow out that aren't necessarily thought through. They just babble. And God wants us to bring anything to him that is on our hearts, but not just to be like the babblers, just using words for the sake of it. And then there's the danger as well of sometimes using words when they're not heartfelt, but we're using words to try and impress. That opportunity to realize that when we come to God, he wants us to be just honest before him. They love to stand in synagogues and at street corners so that they may be seen by others. And then he goes on, verse 7, when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so when we come to pray, maybe it is in our bedroom, But also it could be anywhere else. I love to pray, actually, when I'm by the seaside and looking out over the ocean, perhaps if I'm on a boat or standing by the shore. I just find that I feel very close to God in places where I'm in creation at times. And maybe for you, going for a walk in a field, going to walk in a woodland, and to spend time listening to God and just spending time. So it's not that the room is the special place. It's the reason. It's the fact that it's heartfelt. It's the place where we can be honest and real, and it's secret, one-to-one, us and God. Maybe this afternoon you'd like to go up to Whitnam Clumps and just re-commune with God. Or maybe sometime over the summer we might get the opportunity to stand by the shore and to pray and to recognize our Creator God in the quiet moments there. So, right ways to pray. Let's come on now and hear what Jesus said. If we're going to grow in our relationship with God, we need to learn the right ways to pray. And when Jesus was on earth, his disciples, his special friends, saw him praying and said to him, "Well, Jesus, tell us, teach us how to pray." And in response, Jesus said some words to them.
So verses 9 to 13. "Pray then this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as also we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one."
Lovely. Thank you, Mary. I wonder what you think of when you think of God, because God has described himself in many ways, but the one we're looking at this morning is that he calls himself our Father. Sometimes perhaps people see God in this way. Traffic warden. We don't seemingly have a traffic warden in Didcot, do we? We used to have, I think, many years ago. But why might God be seen as a traffic warden, do you think, by some people? Any thoughts? Yeah, Mary.
Taking note of every bad thing you do.
That's it. There with their pad and pen, or perhaps a bit more technology nowadays with their sort of iPads and stuff. But they're there to get you, aren't they? And when we do things wrong, and if we've parked somewhere for, you know, 34 minutes rather than 30 minutes, it would be reasonable for the traffic warden to come and punish us. And sometimes people think of God in this way, as one who is just waiting, looking down, waiting to issue the ticket when we do things wrong. Any other ways that you think people might perceive God to be? Any other thoughts of, perhaps misdirected thoughts, perhaps?
Enforcing rules.
Lovely. Yep, enforcing rules. So it would be fair for the traffic warden to say, "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Shooter, but you're bang to rights because clause 17.6c says," and he could show you and enforce the rules. Absolutely. Yeah, Nathan.
Maybe as a lifeguard.
Ooh, that's good. I like that one. A lifeguard. Why do you think people might see him as a lifeguard?
Because he saves us from, well, he has saved us from death.
That's a really good answer, Nathan. I like that. Absolutely. That's brilliant. Any other thoughts people might think about who God is? Yeah, Joshua.
As a doctor.
As a doctor. Right. Why do you think a doctor?
Because sometimes when you, like, let's say you scratch your leg, he heals you.
Lovely. So knowing God's healing power and the fact that he wants us to get better and to be whole. Lovely. That's a really good answer as well, Josue. Brilliant. Any other thoughts? How might people perceive God to be? God, our Heavenly Father. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. God has his leg.
Didn't quite get that one, Phoebe.
She's just talking. God is good.
God is good. He is. Absolutely. Lovely. God is good. All the time. And all the time.
God is good.
Absolutely. Preach it, sister. Lovely. Right. Any other thoughts as to how God might be perceived? Yeah, Esther.
So one of my favorites is thinking of God the Father as our kind of source and origin, and we call him the Father from whom every family is named. And I think going to your point about prayer, it's like when people kind of say they're putting attention to themselves, it's like they're not actually pointing to their origin, to their source, to the being from whom we owe everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Thanks, Esther. And Andrew.
Sometimes people have a misconception that God only likes people who are good or who fit a certain profile. Mm.
Lovely. Thanks, Andrew. So we know one who reached out to the margins. And Josue's full of great ideas this morning.
Like a friend.
As a friend. Brilliant. Right. I want us to hold on to some of those thoughts, because sometimes people in the world might see Jesus in this way, that we're just puppets. And he's the puppeteer who kind of controls us. And the Bible does talk about us being elect and God calling us. But it also talks about making the most of every opportunity, about loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and living for him with everything we are. That opportunity to realize that he's given us this free will to live for him and to work out our calling. And sometimes people think of him in this way. Sort of like a Father Christmas character, who it's kind of his duty just to give us good things all the time and just to keep heaping presents on us. But maybe the relationship side is not quite so strong during the year. But I would love us to hold on to some of the thoughts we've heard. Doctor and friend, lifeguard, a God who reaches out to the margins like a shepherd who goes and finds the lost sheep and brings it home. Like one who recognizes God our Father as our origin and our source, the source of who we are, our creator. The one who made us and loves us. And God calls us to know him as a father, as a loving heavenly father. And it's great, isn't it? Because there's that phrase, our Father, just those two words. And when we think of Father, we recognize that this is relational. It's all about relationship. Father, daughter, father, son. It's about a relationship. And then that word, our Father. This is not solely something for other people. Many people in this room know God as their Father. But what about you? Our Father, for every one of us. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to live each day knowing that we can turn to God as our Father.
So I'm going to read out part of the prayer, and then I'm going to pause so you can have a little bit of time of reflection and maybe in your own head say your own part of the prayer, or if you want to, you can draw a picture on a spare bit of paper. So let's bow our heads. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for the church building plans and for the appointments of our new church associate minister, Louise, and for the church meeting, for Sarah West as she stands for the Deacon of Youth, that they will do your will throughout their roles on this earth and during this church. Give us this day our daily bread, and we ask you that you give Greece aid over the next few weeks after destruction caused by the storm. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A quiet time of reflection. Maybe we need to ask someone for forgiveness, or we need to forgive someone. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I pray that for all of us during the next week ahead, we may all be delivered from any evil, and that we can keep the lessons we've learned today in mind. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.